Father, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the truth that you're bringing to your people. We thank you that you're bringing us all up to a new level and a new place in you. We call upon your holy anointing to come and saturate our minds, wills, and emotions as we go forth in this word. We release your holy angels to go throughout the sanctuary to do combat and battle against any spirits that would try to distract or destroy what you're doing in your people. And Father, we release ourselves high into the third heavens in this hour, in Jesus' name, amen. Tonight we're going to be talking about a very serious topic that is affecting the majority of the body of Christ. And it has to deal with delusions and deception. There's a strong spirit of delusion and a strong spirit of deception that is at work and at play. And if you are not wise, if you are not operating in the spirit, that those two spirits will take you over and will cause your ultimate spiritual demise. The things that we're going to be talking about tonight are, they are simple things, and I want to put this out there. Simple obedience is a whole lot better than having to go through a bunch of sacrifices. And there's scriptures like this that are all through the Word. So the things that you're going to hear tonight, I want you to really take them into your spirit, man. And don't take it for granted. Don't say in your heart that this is not me. Don't say in your heart that this couldn't be me. Really take this in, because the level of deception that is out there, in at the same time as the level of darkness that is out there, is really taking a lot of people out. Leaders, regular people, whoever. Many are growing deeper in deception, but what they fail to understand is how dangerous this place really is. Here is the warning that the Holy Spirit has prompted us to give you. If you walk in prolonged periods of deception, this deception will turn into delusion. This delusion will entrap you within itself, and it will be very hard, if not impossible, to break a person out of this. And if the person does not come out of delusion, they will enter into total depravity. Delusion, from the Cambridge Dictionary, means something a person believes and wants to be true when it is actually not true. Delusion, from Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, means the act of tricking or deceiving someone, the state of being deluded. Deception is the act or causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. The act of deceiving, resorting to falsehood and deception. The act or condition of being deceived. Example, the deception of his audience. And I want to read the statement again. If you walk in prolonged periods of deception, this deception will turn into delusion. This delusion will entrap you within itself, and it will be very hard, if not impossible, to break a person out of this. And if the person does not come out of delusion, they will enter into total depravity. There was a sex trafficking ring that was broke up in Smyrna, Delaware. When they showed the pictures of the people, you could see this delusion and deception upon both of them. They have convinced themselves that what they were doing was okay, and it was okay to do this to people. That's just one example of how deep this can really get. Let's look at Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 to 4 and verse 9. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was seen, such as was never since there was a nation, even to that time, and at the time your people shall be delivered. Everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the scroll until the end of the time. Many will go back and forth, searching anxiously through the scroll, and knowledge of the purpose of God as revealed by his prophets will greatly increase. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the scroll until the end of time. Many will go back and forth and search anxiously through the scroll, and knowledge of the purpose of God as revealed by his prophets will greatly increase. Verse 9, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Daniel was referring to the time that we are living in right now. Verse 4 brings a revelation to the plans and purposes of God. God has planned for himself to be revealed in all of his glory and majesty to us, his people. And the enemy is doing everything in his power to stop the children of God from receiving that blessing, to stop the children of God from carrying that glory. And God needs for you all to understand how important you are to the plan and the purpose that he has to redeem Israel, to redeem his people. The remnant that I have chosen, that I have called, has to go forth. And the enemy has sent all of his legions against you to push you into realms of darkness that I never ordained for you to walk in. You must follow me at all costs, children, in this time and in this season. The rewards will be great, but I do not want you to serve me for my rewards. I want you to serve me out of truth and purity of heart. I am coming and I am moving across this land, and there will be great destruction that will follow. And my heart is breaking. My heart is very sorrowful of the things that I must do. You have to align yourselves with my plan and my purpose. You have to see deep into the spirit. You have to let go of your flesh and allow me to use you. This is the end, and the works that I am accomplishing will bring a great harvest in for me. My son and I are eagerly waiting and are drawing all things together. You have to understand how important this time is and really surrender yourselves to me in this hour. God is planning for himself to be revealed in all of his glory and majesty to us as people. This revelation is going to come to those who are seeking and trying to find the answers. And in that search, the knowledge of who God is and what he is going to do is going to be revealed to you. But if you're not seeking for God to give you those answers, you're not going to find them. John 3:17 in the Amplified. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The church has taken this scripture and they are misinterpreting it because they want to believe that Jesus is not going to judge them ever. But if you look at the section that is highlighted in the yellow, you will see that there is a time element that has been hidden in this scripture. That is to initiate the final judgment of the world. When Jesus came the first time, the church, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers of that day were looking for him to take down the Roman Empire. But it wasn't his time to do that. it wasn't his time to judge the world in this fashion that when he comes back this second time, he will be doing. There is a judgment that Jesus will be coming to do to all, but the judgment that they were talking about was not the judgment that we think of today. Yes, true. Jesus, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit love you just as you are. They say to you, come, just as you are. But you are not supposed to stay just as you came. You are not supposed to stay just as you came. You're supposed to grow and change and be transformed into a consecrated being for Christ. But because of man's inhumanity to man, because of the corrupt nature of the bishops, the elders, the deacons, the lay leaders, and the ministers in the house of God, their deception has brought many delusions into the house of God. All of the things that were not taught that should have been taught about holiness and righteousness and purity, they're going to be held accountable and judged for. But you have a responsibility to learn those things and to come up in the ways of the Lord. Everyone has his own Bible. It's on the internet. You have access to biblical scriptures and knowledge that people in Jesus' day did not have. There is not going to be an excuse to say, I didn't know. I didn't understand. There's not going to be an excuse to say, no one taught me. You have to take that responsibility upon yourself. Because of man's inhumanity to man, because of the corrupt nature of the bishops, the elders, the deacons, the lay leaders, and the ministers in the house of God, their deception has brought many delusions into the house of God. The consequence of that is that many people who are in church are walking and living lifestyles that are condemning them to be judged in the scales of God, and they will be found wanting. The time element, the judgment that was being referred to in John 3:17, was referring to the final judgment of the entire world that will occur at the end of days. Deception and delusion has taken place behind many pulpits, YouTube channels, podcasts, and whatever form of medium that people are using to bring in push forth the gospel out there. Because the leaders in the church are not living right before God, and they are teaching their people to follow after their same ways. They are teaching people that they can live any old way and that God will accept it. This is not true. And if you believe that, you have an open door for delusion and deception to come into you. If you're sitting making excuses for the things that you know you're supposed to be doing, you have that open door. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. And in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought an offering of the finest, firstborn of his flock, in the fat portions, and the Lord had respect, regard for Abel in his offering, but for Cain in his offering he had no respect. So Cain became extremely angry, indignant, and he looked annoyed and hostile. Here's the God of the world who has judged his offering, and he's mad at God. There was clear-cut instructions as to what they were to do, what they were to bring. And he said, no, I'm not going to bring that. You have to accept this. That's deception in its highest forms. And he kept doing it over and over and over. So much to the point that he got himself into a place of delusion where he believed he was right over God. This is how serious this is. Think about the things that God has asked you to do, and you've said, whatever. You don't know what you're talking about, God. I don't have to live that way. and be blessed. I don't have to live that way, and the anointing will be upon me. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry, and why do you look annoyed? If you do well, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you, to overpower you, but you must master it. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, about what God had said. So there was a discussion, there was a conversation. You know, Cain is trying to convince Abel that God is wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And I don't understand, Abel, why he's accepting your offering, your sacrifice, and he's not accepting mine. And I'm pretty sure Abel told him, hey, just do what God is asking you to do. It's nice that you got these fruits and these vegetables, but God wants blood. He wants an animal sacrifice. Our father Adam told us this. He taught us this. Follow this and you'll be okay. Picture all of this in your mind, because this is what happened. Cain talked with Abel, his brother, about what God had said. And when they were alone, working in the field, Cain attacked Abel, his brother, and killed him. Here's where it gets really, really bad. Because the people who are in deception and delusion are going to kill those who aren't. They are going to attack those who aren't, because they're a constant reminder that they're not doing what they're supposed to do. There's going to be verbal attacks that will happen to them, sometimes physical attacks that will happen to them. God forbid there won't be any murders. But this is how strong this spirit of deception and delusion is. Not going to be, it is right now. And think about this. Pastor Barber did a teaching, The Anatomy of Hate. And when you take hate and throw it at somebody, you cause spirits to attack that person. You cause spirits of sickness and illness to attack that person with your hate, your anger, your discord. So you cannot say that I'm innocent of all of this. You have a part to play. You have a responsibility in all of this if you're doing these things. In reverse, if someone is being angry or bitter with you, you have to realize and cover yourself in the blood of Jesus Christ, so that these spirits of hate that are coming from the deception and the delusion in these people don't take you out and take you down. You have to be wise in this, and you have to understand really what God is saying and doing, because he's trying to instruct you so that you're going to be protected. When you look at this story, you see a picture of someone who is walking in deception. Cain knew what God wanted, what God accepted, but he kept offering God what he did not want. This sounds too easy to be true, but it really is quite simple. You cannot give or offer to God something that he does not want. In all of this, God was looking for obedience. The deception came for Cain because he kept convincing himself that God did not know what he was talking about. Imagine that. The creator of the entire universe not having a clue what he was talking about. There is much deeper teaching here. But short story long, God has respect for the blood of animals, and God told them what kind of sacrifice he wanted. God judged Abel righteous because of the offering that he made. God preferred Abel's sacrifice because it was what God required of them. The level of deception that had occurred with Cain kept growing, and this is the part that you need to understand. The more you resist the Spirit of God, that thing gets bigger and bigger and bigger inside of you. And this is how it gets to the point where it's almost impossible for God to deliver you, to set you free. Not saying that he won't or he can't, but your agreement with him has to be there, has to be present in order for that to work. And if you're in such a state of delusion that you're not even willing to ask God to help you, what can God do? Because he's not going to go against your will. He is not going to force himself upon you and make you do anything. He's God. He doesn't need to. He doesn't need to. The level of deception that had occurred with Cain kept growing every time he offered God an offering, and God did not accept it. Instead of Cain doing what was required, he convinced himself that eventually God would change. Remember what we said deception was: the act of causing someone to accept as true or valid what is false or invalid. Cain was not going to cause God to change his mind. But Cain believed in himself that eventually God would change, and because he kept persisting against what God wanted, he shifted from deception into delusion, something a person believes and wants to be true when it is actually not true. You need to be real honest with yourself at all times and come to grips with the truth that you can be deceived. You can be tricked, and once that deception takes root, you yourself have an opening to try and make people believe what you want is right. And if it doesn't line up with the scriptures, it's not. You can walk in a place that is not of God. There are spirits that will be placed upon you that will cause you to feel a false anointing, that will cause you to hear false prophetic words. And all along you will think and believe that you are okay. This is how strong and how deep deception and delusion gets to. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Now in regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to meet him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be quickly unsettled or alarmed, either by a so-called prophetic revelation or a spirit or message or a letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one in any way deceive or entrap you, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the great rebellion, the abandonment of the faith by professed Christians. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, the Antichrist, the one who is destined to be destroyed, who opposes and exalts himself so proudly and so insolently above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he actually enters and takes his seat in the temple of God, and publicly proclaiming that he himself is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I was telling you these things, and you know what restrains him now from being revealed? It is so that he will be revealed at his own appointed time. We have all of these things going on right now, people giving false prophetic revelations. And if you don't have the Word of God down on the inside of you, to be able to have a check against what's being said, if you're not deep enough in the spirit, you will believe everything that everybody says. And there are so many new demonic teachings that are coming out right now that are deceiving the body of Christ. And they're going off into false delusions that are destroying not only them, but the people that they love, the people that are following them. If you look at the amount of praise and worship leaders who are coming up saying they don't believe the Bible, they don't believe scripture, it is running rampant right now. And if you're not rooted and grounded in Christ, you have the possibility of being deceived and following these people. And because you're not honest with yourself, if this applies to you, if you're not honest with yourself, you can go off and believe them and do the things that they're asking you to do. And the Holy Spirit really put this upon us to bring this out so that you would understand, so that you would protect yourself. And then if you're in any type of deception, that you would seek deliverance and get out of it. Because you don't want to get to the place where you miss what God is doing. Verse 7, for the mystery of lawlessness, rebellion against divine authority in the coming reign of lawlessness is already at work, but it is restrained only until he who now restrains it is taken out of the way. There is coming a day when the Holy Spirit is going to be removed. The Holy Spirit is going to back himself away. We have the Holy Spirit now, and we should be drawn upon him each and every second of every day so that we don't get caught up in the things that are going on in this earth. Verse 8, then the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be revealed, and the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and bring him to an end by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders, all of them lies. Don't be so quick to run to something that someone is calling to glory. Don't be so quick to run to something that someone is calling revival. If the Holy Spirit is not directing you to go there, giving you permission to go there, be wary. Everything that they put out on the internet is not truth. You have to understand that. And people have marketing techniques, marketing skills. And there are business people who know that the church has a lot of money and people have needs and desires and wants. And we are easily duped. Because we want a miracle. We want whatever we want. And sometimes God has told us, yes, I'm giving you this miracle. You've gotten these prophetic words, but you've got to do those if-thens. And we're trying to tell God, these if-thens don't work. I've got to have it now. So I'm going to go chase whatever it is that's out there. Because God, you're wrong. The thing that you're telling me that you want, I'm not giving it to you. Because here I can go somewhere else and get it. You see how this plays out? And you see how sometimes we can become deceived in our own self if we're not wise. If we don't have loving, godly people, fathers and mothers in the spirit, brothers and sisters in Christ who say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. Do you realize that you're not lining up according to X, Y, and Z? But we attack those people. And really out of a heart of love, they're reaching out to you because the Spirit's moved upon them to save your soul from total damnation. We've got to change. Verse 9, the coming of the Antichrist, the lawless one, is through the activity of Satan, attended with great power, all kinds of counterfeit miracles and deceptive signs and false wonders. All of them lies, and by unlimited seduction to evil. That's a powerful word, seduction. You're drawn away. It's, yeah, come on. Just a little bit closer. Just believe the lie just a little bit more. You're being pulled and swayed and drawn into evil. And with all the deception of wickedness, for those who are perishing because they did not welcome the love of the truth of the gospel so as to be saved, they were spiritually blind and rejected the truth. because they did not welcome the love of the truth of the gospel so as to be saved. They were spiritually blind and rejected the truth that would have saved them. Because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence. Here's the part where it gets really, really scary. When you read that verse 11, so you've done your thing. You've allowed for deception to take place inside of you. You keep repeating it. It turns from deception to delusion. Now God says, okay, I'm going to send verse 11 to you. Because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence, an activity of error and deception. So they will believe the lie in order that all may be judged and condemned who did not believe the truth about their sin and the need for salvation through Christ, but instead took pleasure in unrighteousness. So not only now do you have your own internal thing going, God has said, I've had enough, and I'm going to let you continue on in your error. I'm going to send an even stronger version of that to you so that you can see that I am that I am, and I never lie. So this deception and delusion can overtake you and place you in a place of being judged by God very quickly. Now we're talking about Jesus and how God is going to use Jesus to judge the world. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right, and even when it is not. Keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether convenient or inconvenient, whether welcome or unwelcome. Correct those who err in doctrine or behavior. Warn those who sin. Exhort and encourage those who are growing toward spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching. Verse 3, for the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine and accurate instruction that challenges them with God's truth, but wanting to have their ears tickled with something pleasing, they will accumulate for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold, and will turn their ears away from the truth and will wander off into myths in man-made fictions, and will accept the unacceptable. When you think about some of the things that the church is doing now, there was a Facebook post about the Catholic Church that was put out there, how they had a Muslim speaker in the church, and no one was outraged. It was a Muslim speaker that was standing behind the pulpit, and they were accepting of that. Acts 17:30-31. Therefore, God overlooked and disregarded the former ages of ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent, that is to change their old way of thinking, to regret their past sins, and to seek God's purpose for their lives, because he has set a day when he will judge the inhabited world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed and destined for that task, and he has provided credible proof to everyone by raising him from the dead. So here, Acts 17:30-31, it's telling you specifically that God is sending Jesus to judge the world. He is going to use him to judge the inhabited world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed and destined for that task. This was Jesus' purpose from the very beginning. Jesus is coming back to judge those who are not walking according to God's law. The church has accumulated for themselves many teachers, one after another, chosen to satisfy their own desires and to support the errors they hold. This level of deception is running rampant in the church right now. So many times God warned us prophetically that the darkness is getting darker. Now we're going to play a clip. This is of a former apostolic bishop leader of the church by the name of Carlton Pearson. And I want you to hear this because I want you to hear how far the deception and the delusion has grown in him. This is a couple of different pieces of what he has said, but it's really something that it's eye-opening. And I'm doing this not to glorify what he's saying or doing, but to show you how quick and how fast this deception and delusion can be.
Jesus is not one of my favorite preachers.
This is a
I love
Christian
what
preacher,
he taught.
Former Christian
Very
preacher.
Simple messages, nothing profound. I'd rather listen to Miles Monroe teach or T.D. Jakes preach or Noel Jones Holloway than hear. I wouldn't go hear too many of his sermons. But the one thing I do remember that Jesus, you know, he talked about wheat and sheep and birds and all that stuff. But he did say this, and this is the most profound statement he made, and John Baptist preceded him and was killed a year before, said this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Kingdom of heaven just means the higher reaches and regions and rhythms of consciousness. It is not a place as much as it is a space of consciousness. So he said, the word repent doesn't mean to say, I'm sorry, Larry. It means literally just to rethink.
Yeah.
Or
to have a change of mind.
Or have a change of mind. Mm-hmm. Meta means to change, the nous, the mind. After you have thought, think again. Now, that one statement has changed my whole life. Well, it is part of it, and I don't fault somebody for fearing God enough to because they want to avoid hell. But Christianity, in its purest sense, is not about anybody accepting God or Christ. It is about God accepting everybody through Christ. If you believe in a God that demands blood transactions and blood transitions and blood sacrifices. If you really do the research, the greatest story ever told might just be the greatest story ever sold. And we all bought it and bought into it. And now 2,000 years hence, we're thinking, wait a minute, this don't make sense. My pastor, Bishop J.A. Blake, was the only holiness pastor in San Diego that hung out with the Baptist preachers, and they shared pulpits for anniversaries. And Bishop Blake was never, J.E. Blake was never judgmental. I'm sure he did, but I never heard him preach a harsh sermon against sin. Of course, he would have been preaching against himself in some ways. I realize that. But he was a kind man, a gentleman, born in Arkansas, no formal education, died a millionaire. Beautiful person, a father to me. Now, my grandfather was a holiness preacher, and he was a womanizer. I love him to the day I died. Two of my uncles were womanizing holiness preachers. They loved women and wine and struggled with both. So they died. I had to forgive them once they died, and presumably, based on the way we were taught, went to hell. So I think people in their knower know that a lot of the stuff we've been taught is inaccurate or outright deception. But mom and them did it. Mom and daddy did. Now we're dealing with a generation. And you must understand, Larry, you have been called out of that into this just to expose and give people the opportunity and actually encourage them to rethink. Hey, I could pick up the phone. I won't name. I could call any number of preachers and say, listen, God dealt with me in a dream. I went through a period of sickness or whatever. And I realized that the devil had been using me. Scripture says that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Well, it's not possible. I know I'm the very elect. God sent me among these new thought, new age, expanded consciousness folk, and to let me learn to warn the saints that in the last days, blah, blah, blah. I'd get $10 million checks. Somebody would send me a jet today.
Absolutely.
Buy me property. I could die a millionaire.
Absolutely.
But empty and lean.
Absolutely.
If I just simply said what they want me to say. 100%. I know God, but it's not that one. In fact, I fired the one in the Bible. Too mean, too schizophrenic, psychopath, sociopath, too much like Donald Trump. I don't want nothing to do with it. The God I serve is not one that has a name, and it may be more of a principle than a person.
Deception, delusion. Strong delusion sent by God to keep him there. Error upon error upon error. This is how strong this is. And this is how serious God wants you to understand this. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He just does not. And he really wants you to understand this tonight. Because some of you are on the verge of going to hell and getting into this deception and delusion. And if you don't get out of it, there's not going to be anything he can do for you. Please, please listen to the Holy Spirit. Stop resisting him and do what he's asking you to do. This level of deception is so strong. And those who are in the spirit are being fought by this deception right now, this delusion. It's coming against them. It's causing them to want to lose their minds, give up, lose their purpose in Christ. Because if it gets those leaders, those people who are telling the truth, what does the rest of the church have? You heard him say his father was a holiness preacher. But he was a womanizer and a drinker. The person that taught him was a womanizer and a drinker. He said in this clip, and I wanted you to hear this, he could lie and tell people that he changed, he was sick, and he was wrong. He could fake a repentance and today have somebody send him a check for $10 million, a jet, and he would die a millionaire. Because people don't know. They just believe. This is so serious. So serious. And it's the truth. There are so many false prophets out there. You send me a $10 check, I'll send you a prophetic word. You don't know who these people are. You don't even know if they have a relationship with God. But you won't yield yourself and let God prophesy to you. I wanted you to hear this and get an understanding of how dangerous walking in deception is. The enemy is clever, but you have to come to the understanding because of your fallen nature, the very same thing can happen to you. You cannot use this as an excuse and say the devil tricked me into doing this. The reality is the same. It's simple. You are drawn away by your own lust and desire for whatever it is that God has told you not to do. The deception that has been sown into the church has created an atmosphere where many delusions exist in the minds of God's people. Many delusions. People have so many different religious beliefs that are not scriptural, that are binding them up, but they don't want to let them go. They don't want to let them go for the pure spirit of God. The time of the church tolerating teachings that are not of God has drawn to a close. And this teaching that is going on right now where Jesus will not judge you is not scriptural. John 3:17-21. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world. highlighted yellow again, that is to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes and has decided to trust in him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this one, there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. But the one who does not believe and has decided to reject him as personal Savior and Lord is judged already. It's a law. That one has been convicted and sentenced because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. The one who is truly unique, the only one of his kind, the one who alone can save him. This is the judgment, that is, the cause for indictment, a charge, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. They loved that darkness, for their deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light, but shrinks from it for fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned. But whoever practices truth and does what is right, morally, ethically, spiritually, comes to the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, accomplished in God, divinely prompted, done with God's help and dependence on him. The reason that deception and delusion can grow within the church is because of these verses. There are people who are in the church who profess Christianity, profess having a relationship with God, but they love darkness. Can you believe him saying he fired the God of the Bible? How deceived is that? They love dark things. They're drawn to darkness. God has prophesied that darkness was going to grow. He prophesied it in his word, and he has prophesied it through his true prophets. Matthew 24, verses 11 to 15. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. When you see these types of things, when you see people who once served the Lord come up with this error, that's the sign. That is the sign that something is really big is about to change and shift and happen. And we cannot ignore that. And there are so many people out there with, again, false teachings. You know, the false teachings about you're not supposed to eat meat. There's so many people in so many churches who have this teaching going on right now. And forget who exactly it was. He said, when they start doing things like that, be careful, watchful. There are people who are losing their teeth because they're not eating meat. Because the animal protein or the plant proteins do not have the right proteins in there to protect your teeth. But people in church have started doctrines about this, and eventually the people become sick because they're not doing what the Bible said to do. Everything in balance. The levels of deception are going to grow so deep and so strong that it will be very hard for most people to stay saved. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? It's going to become harder and harder for you to stay saved because there's so much out there. We have the world at our fingertips with these phones, the computers. You can pull up and dial up anything, draw it off the internet. And you can get lost in that whole world. Sometimes people spend hours upon hours just messing around on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat. And they don't even realize that 4 or 5 hours has been sucked away. Non-productive hours that they will never, ever get back. Matthew quotes Daniel in talking about the abomination of desolation will come and stand in the holy place. When the church continues to live lifestyles that don't line up with God's words, they are the abomination of desolation. The clip that we just heard is evidence that this is going on right now as we speak. These people think that they're okay and that they can continue to minister for God. They don't even feel any compulsion to stop. It's about the money. It's about the recognition and the fame for them. They don't even care that they're leading people into hell. They're destroying them, and they're going to be held accountable for that. Their hearts are corrupted, and only God can turn those hearts around. But if they're in a state where they're so far gone that God sends that strong delusion, it's over with. Psalms 14:1-3. The spiritually ignorant fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have committed repulsive and unspeakable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, act wisely, who truly seek after God, longing for his wisdom and guidance. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Romans 1:28-32. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God or consider him worth knowing as their creator, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do things which are improper and repulsive, until they were filled, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, and mean-spiritedness. Have you ever noticed driving along the road now how mean people are? Can't even make a mistake, an honest mistake. Someone's blowing the horn or they're flicking you off. They are gossips, spreading rumors, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil. There's not enough evil out there now that they have to invent something new. Disobedient and disrespectful to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful, without pity, although they know God's righteous decree and his judgment that those who do such things deserve death, yet they not only do them, but they even enthusiastically approve and tolerate others who practice them. So they're not discontent with what they do. They want to encourage and incite other people to do the very same things. He says, Carlton Pearson said that his wife is happy with what he's doing. And she was supposed to be a godly woman as well. So not only has his error affected himself, but it's affected his wife as well. She too has become corrupt, as he is. Genesis 6:1-7, closing scripture. Now it happened when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful and desirable, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose and desired. Then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive and remain with man forever, because he is indeed flesh, sinful, corrupt, given over to sensual appetites. Nevertheless, his days shall yet be 120 years. The Lord saw that the wickedness, depravity of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination or intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. The Lord regretted that he had made mankind on the earth, and he was deeply grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy, annihilate mankind, whom I have created from the surface of the earth. Not only man, but the animals and the crawling things and the birds of the air, because it deeply grieves me to see mankind sin, and I regret that I have made them. This was in Genesis. God has said he is going to destroy the earth once again, and he's going to destroy it with fire. The level of deception, the delusion, is growing, and we're getting into the place where this is about to occur. You don't want to be one of those people who are trapped and put in this cycle where this strong delusion overtakes you and you get into this error and you can't get out. It is time to really receive the truth and understand this warning that God gave us. If you walk in prolonged periods of deception, this deception will turn into the delusion. This delusion will entrap you within itself, and it will be very hard, if not impossible, to break a person out of this. And if the person does not come out of delusion, they will enter into total depravity. Do not let this be you. Father, I just thank you for the words that were sown into the hearts of your people. I thank you that as they were sown, they received them deep into their spirit, and decisions were being made to change. Decisions were being made to not allow themselves to go into being totally depraved. Father, I pray that your holy angels would be here in our midst, and that you would touch those ones who made those decisions. We thank you for sending a breaker anointing to break people free from deception and delusion of all forms. And the altar is open for you to receive that, to receive the breaker anointing to destroy deception and delusion.